Let us offer our most prayerful and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that every moment of our lives we realize what our true goal is and pursue towards our goal with unstinted devotion, acceptance and surrender. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we learn a bhajan wherein we pray to the Lord, telling Him that He is our life, He is our everything. The first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Tum bin praan nahi, O Sai mere.
So this is what we will learn now, and like always we start with the lyrics and then we move on to the tune and then we discuss about the raga of the bhajan, the beat of the bhajan. And after this, Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim shares with us his insights about the bhava aspect of this bhajan, how to relate to this bhajan, how to utilize this bhajan in connecting with our Lord. So let's get started with the lyrics.
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे सब भक्तों का तुम हो सहारा रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे नानक येशु महावीर श्री शंकर प्रेमावतारा साई राम तुम हो मेरे प्राण ओ साई मेरे तुम हो साई भगवान.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh now will give us a slow and flawless demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D pancham.
Tum bin praan nahi, o sai mere.
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे
सब भक्तों का तुम हो सहारा
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 रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो
रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो
रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो
रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे
नानक येशु महावीर श्री शंकर प्रेम avatara Sai Ram.
Nanak Yeshu Mahavir Shri Shankara Premavatara Sai Ram.
Nanak Yeshu Mahavir Shri Shankara Premavatara Sai Ram.
Nanak Yeshu Mahavir Shri Shankara Premavatara Sai Ram.
Tum ho mere pran, O Sai mere.
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 Tum ho Sai Bhagwan.
Tum ho Sai Bhagwan.
Tum ho Sai Bhagwan.
Tum ho Sai Bhagwan.
Tum bin pran nahi, O Sai mere.
That's such a powerful bhajan, and it just evokes so much of pathos just by the way it is composed, and the lyrics only amplify the feeling to such a beautiful extent. Anirudh is here with us to share his insights and shed more light on this composition. So Anirudh, tell us what you feel about the way this bhajan is made.
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
As you said, exactly, the when the lyrics gets amplified with a beautiful tune, it's really like the blend, the beautiful blend which you get, which has no words to express actually. So, Tuma bina prana nahi, O Sai mere. Beautiful lyric, and the tune really justifies the feeling of the composer, the lyric.
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साईं मेरे सब भक्तों का तुम हो सहारा.
If you ask me to describe about this bhajan, actually I don't have words to say the feeling of this bhajan. Such is the power of the tune and the raga behind this powerful bhajan is Shubha Panthoorali in the Carnatic classical music, and which is called Todi in the Hindustani classical music, which is a Sampurna Raga, which means all the seven notes are there in this raga.
Sa re
komal ri
ga
komal ga
ma
ma is tivrama
pa dha
komal dha again
ni sa
ni shuddhni
sa re ga ma ba da ni sa sa ni da pa ma ga re sa.
Just by singing the arohana and avarohana itself gives you a very crying feeling, pining
yes.
feeling.
Yes.
Sa ni da ba ma ga
Beautiful example, yes, for this raga.
Om Jagajanani Sai Mata Daya Karo He Daya Nidhe He Bhagavan.
So all these bhajans belong to Shubha Panthavarali or Todi Raga. And when I come to this bhajan especially, it's a very interesting composition in the raga Shubha Panthavarali. The first four lines of this bhajan belong to Shubha Panthavarali. And when you sing the fifth line, which has to be carefully sung, in the sense that there is a small deviation from the raga, bringing a different note, different perspective to the bhajan, which is the Shuddha. I'll just sing and show you that part alone, so that it has to be sung very carefully after a lot of practice. So the fourth line is
Nanak Yeshu Mahavir Shri Shankar Prema Avatara Sai Ram. Tum ho mere pran, O Sai mere.
So when you analyze this line,
Prema Avatara Sai Ram.
So there is a chord change over there, which supports the note Shuddha.
Ga ga, tum ho mere pran. Ga ga ga, da pa ga, ga ga.
So you have both the gas.
Ga 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 is Shuddha ga. Da pa ga,
Shuddha ga again.
Ga ga ga,
which is Komal ga.
O Sai ga re ga, mere.
So, it's a very interesting thing to note that both the gas are there in this. The Shuddha is introduced in this bhajan in a very different way. Rather, it's a very, very surprising way than you find in any other bhajans, actually. So, that the beginning of the line,
Tum ho mere pran,
Requires a lot of practice for the singer as well as the harmonium player. Because this is a bhajan which goes with the blend of two. Exactly when the harmonium player gives that chord which supports the singer to take that note, it's very difficult to sing in Tanpura or just a single note alone. So
it's very important that the person playing the harmonium supports the singer at that point in time.
Exactly. Otherwise it's an accident zone.
Slippery slope, as you will. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on. Let's learn every note of this bhajan.
Let's do the first line.
Tum bin praan nahi, o sai mere. Sa sa re ga re ga re sa sa, sa ni sa da da.
Sa sa re ga re ga re sa sa, sa ni sa da da.
Sab bhakton ka tum ho sahara. Pa 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 ma pa ga sa re ga ma da pa.
Pa 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 ma pa ga sa re ga ma da pa.
Rahim kaho Raghuram kaho. Da 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 ma ga re ga re sa re.
Da 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 ma ga re ga re sa re.
Again we come back to the first line.
Tum bin praan nahi, o sai mere. Sa sa re ga re ga re sa sa, sa ni sa da da.
Sa sa re ga re ga re sa sa, sa ni sa da da.
Nanak Yeshu Mahavir Shri Shankar Prema Avatara Sai Ram. Sa 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 ni sa da 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 ma da sa ri 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 ga ri sa da da ni ni sa.
Sa 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 ni sa da 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 ma da sa ri 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 ga ri sa da da ni ni sa.
Tum ho mere pran o sai mere. Ga 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 da pa da pa ga ga ga. Ga re ga sa re ga.
Ga 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 da pa da pa ga ga ga. Ga re ga sa re ga.
Tum ho sai bhagwan. Da pa ga ga re re ga re sa sa. Sada
da pa ga ga re re ga re sa sa ni sada.
Tum ho sai bhagwan. Sa re ga ga re ga re sa sa.
Sa re ga ga re ga re sa sa.
That definitely gives a lot of clarity into how this bhajan is so interestingly composed.
Yeah, it's we have to sing this bhajan definitely very carefully, especially that line as I mentioned before.
Tum ho mere praan.
That's a very tricky slope from the previous line. And especially after looking at the swaras, we can really understand which note to hit.
Yes.
Ga ga ga. It's a shuddh ga there.
Da pa da pa ga ga ga.
And a komal ga there.
Yeah.
Very interesting composition. I don't think so any other bhajan has such a play of this kind of komalga and shuddhga.
And it creates its own effect.
Yeah.
So what is the beat of this bhajan?
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, which is keharva in the Hindustani classical music. and Aditalam in the Carnatic classical music. So the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1,
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साईं मेरे,
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साईं मेरे,
सब भक्तों का तुम हो सहारा,
सब भक्तों का तुम हो सहारा,
रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो,
रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो,
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साईं मेरे,
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साईं मेरे.
I think that gives a lot of clarity into the raga and the rhythm of this bhajan. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you,
Vishu. Sairam.
Sairam. Let's move on now to the next aspect of bhajan singing, the aspect of bhava, the feeling with which we should render any Sai bhajan. And Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University, now shares with us his insights about this bhajan, about how he relates to Swami while singing this bhajan, and from his experience, let us draw our lessons. Sairam, Brother Sonam, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Sairam Vishu.
Today we have this bhajan, Tumabina.
Prana nahi. Such a beautiful bhajan, yeah.
I mean, the first line itself is so poignant with meaning.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, what would always go in your mind whenever you had the chance to sing this bhajan in the divine physical presence?
Yeah, for a beginning, this bhajan takes me back again to those Vrindavan days in the early 80s when the bhajan was composed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this bhajan is very special to me because this is one of the earliest compositions through Swami's choice instruments, his students. And T.V. Hariharan, he composed this beautiful bhajan and it was introduced in the presence of Bhagwan by Lakshmi Narayan Kote, another student who was my batchmate also, and beautiful singer.
And who has sung the Ramakatha.
Who sang the Ramakatha also, yeah.
In the divine presence so many times.
Yeah.
Mm, amazing.
So when I asked T.V. Hariharan even recently, he just told me very nonchalantly that this bhajan, when it was composed, we were all doing it, in retrospect we can think about it now, you know.
Yes.
That we were doing it in utter ignorance. Not that we are wise now, but we have definitely grown in these past so many decades now. But at that point of time, bhajans were composed out of, you know, sheer love for Bhagwan, and this is how Swami would materialize a bhajan through us. It's just like another materialization.
Wow.
So this was a bhajan, nobody thought what raga. Because nobody knew anything about raga or intricacies of technicalities of music. But then nevertheless, bhajans were composed. And after all these decades, today when you think about a bhajan and try to, you know, analyze the bhajan technically and say, what might have been the raga? And then you suddenly realize, oh, so many beautiful, you know, strains had come into this composition, very technically speaking, and then the feeling becomes more and more profound.
Hmm. Wow. So many swaras came together, so many ragas at times, more than one raga, they just came together to enable you to give expression to your feelings.
Yeah, definitely. And even during those times, you know, when a bhajan was composed and sung in the presence of Bhagwan, some very knowledgeable musicians would come to perform in his presence. And then they would listen to the bhajans and say, what made you compose these bhajans? How do you know? Do you know about this raga? And we would say, no, we don't know. And they would say, without knowing the raga or the technical intricacies of that melody, how did you compose? Because for them it was impossible. And sometimes ignorance is bliss, really. Now take this bhajan itself. The first line itself is a statement. Tum bina prana nahi. And when I think of a line like Tum bina prana nahi, it has got multiple layers of significance. A very mundane, at a very mundane level, wherein we have inherited the opportunity to be his contemporary, the contemporaries of the avatar himself. We can say that without the avatar, what is life? Life bears no significance. Tum bina prana nahi. Without you, there is no life at all. And then again, there is also a transmundane, if we could say that, a supramundane aspect to it, wherein, in fact, he is the life force.
Yes.
He is the fulcrum of everything that happens in this cosmos.
And there is no life without him.
Yeah, without him, that way. So a very transcendental interpretation to it.
Oh, very nice, yes.
And a very earthly, our level,
yes,
you know, man level interpretation to it. Wherein without, in fact, once when a bhajan was composed by one of our students, Sai Bina Ji Na Jina Kya Hai? Swami says, Sai Bina? What does it mean? Even the thought itself sounds negative. Swami says, Sai Bina Jina Kya Hai? Then he said, you are right. Because living itself becomes insignificant without thinking of the avatar, without thinking of the master, without living with the master. And Swami said, living with the master is not only physical proximity alone, but in your thought you should be all the time living with him. So if you can, if you can live, if you can inherit that sanidhya, if you can cultivate that sanidhya with your beloved, then you are living with the beloved. So without doing that, life has no purpose at all.
If you're not doing that, life has no purpose.
No purpose at all.
Someone very beautifully said that when we talk with God,
yeah,
no breath is lost.
Oh, so beautiful.
When we walk with God, no strength is lost.
Beautiful.
When we wait for God, no time
is lost.
And then finally, when you trust in God, when you live in God, when you love God, life is never lost.
Life is never lost. So profound. Yeah. Beautiful.
And, you know, when I heard this, when I read this, the one line, when you wait for the Lord, no time is lost.
No,
you know, you can
lost.
Just relate to Bhagwan, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we would have waited for hours for Bhagwan, 4 hours, 5 hours, especially in 2008, 2009, 2010, you know, Bhagwan sometimes came after 7:30, 8 o'clock in the evening, and you've been waiting from 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, but that is one occasion where even if you have waited for 6 hours, 7 hours, no time is lost.
Exactly. I know
because
one,
without him, there is no life.
Exactly.
Tumho bina pran nahi.
No, everything becomes so profound when you relate it to
God.
God.
And everything, then everything acquires so much meaning.
Yeah.
So that is really something very fantastic. As they say, life with Sai is endless hope and life without Sai is hopeless end.
Yeah, exactly.
Life without Sai is hopeless end. And as I think as you mentioned, when it says Sai Bina, there is nothing like Sai Bina.
Yeah.
That is another level.
Yeah, yeah, that's another level.
To think that we can lead a life without Sai is a misnomer.
Yeah. But then this actually has the rasa, the beauty of dualism.
Yes.
You know, just like me and God.
Hmm.
That pining. those pangs of separation.
Yes.
Those things, you know, when without God, without you, Krishna.
Mm.
This is how Mirabai also said.
Yes.
So there is a without, wherein you feel the void.
Mm.
And that void is so beautiful, such a great experience.
Yes.
Though it's overpowering, it makes you suffer.
Yes.
But then there is so much rasa in that suffering.
Yes. I think if you look at the life of saints, you had this samyoga and vyoga.
Yeah, yeah.
In their love.
Yeah.
You know, in separation you had that great vyoga, great pain. And when they used to have their moments of union with the Lord, then you had this great samyoga.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
When amazing expressions of...
Emerging out of vyoga.
Yeah, vyoga. Emerging out of vyoga. And that is what is bhakti, Swami said.
Exactly.
Bhakti is where there is no vibhakti.
Yeah, beautiful.
There is no separation.
Yeah.
That is what is bhakti. Bhakti leads us to the stage where there is no vibhakti from the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think if you think about it, all such very, very powerful ideas, powerful feelings which will unite us with the Lord are so beautifully packaged in the bhajan.
In the bhajan, exactly.
you don't have to be a saint, you know, you just have to be a normal devotee and sing a bhajan like this with feeling, and you'll be elevated to that of a Radha, a Meera, a Andal.
Any one of those great saints.
Yes.
And we are definitely, you know, falling in line. We are definitely close to the heels of these saints.
Yes.
So that is our inheritance. That is our heritage, in fact. Everyone who is on the pathway to divinity through bhakti, through divine love, we are all, one day or the other, we are going to realize God by following this pathway. The thought itself, the statement itself is so beautiful. Tum bin pran nahi vasaye meri. There is so much yearning also in it. The very well chosen raga.
Yeah.
The beautiful mix of notes. But at the same time, the synthesis is so beautiful. Yeah, I was also reminded of, you know, when you talk about life, you remember the beautiful stories that Swami would tell us from the Upanishads, without really quoting the source, because those things were not necessary. But the real purport of telling us the story was more important.
Yes.
So once I remember he told us the story from, I think, was it from Chandogya Upanishad? About the little bit of competition among the different limbs, you know, the eyes, nose, the tongue, the skin. They all fought with one another, Swami was telling us. And then they were all talking about their own supremacy, their own importance. The eye said, I'm so important, but for me he would be blind. How would he navigate himself? The nose said, what about me? I also am so important for his navigation.
Yes.
And then without me, he would be nowhere. And the tongue said the same thing, skin said the same thing. And what is left? Everybody was so important. Shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandha. And the prana was just lurking inside him, inside this man. And he was overhearing the whole discussion and debate. And ultimately prana said, okay, you guys are so important, let me leave. So Swami said, he said goodbye and left. And then all of a sudden, all of them were nothing. So we give so much importance. You remember those beautiful things that Swami would say, Hira ko dekhta hai, hero ko bhulta hai. So if we are focused on the hero, if we are all the time focused on God, how beautiful life becomes.
Yes.
So that is our daily experience. In fact, we are more and more we sing these beautiful bhajans. Swami takes us there.
The focus should be always on the heart.
Exactly.
Wow.
Tum bina prana nahi, o sai mere. Sab dharmo ka tu hai sahara. What a beautiful line. Again, it evokes so many beautiful thoughts, so many beautiful, you know, the more you dwell on the inner meaning of it, you know, you become so enchanted. सब भक्तों का तू है सहारा, सब धर्मों का तू है सहारा. When Swami, you know, whenever I utter the word dharma, I am reminded only of the universality of dharma that Swami, the universal definition of dharma that Swami gives us. It is not only what contains everything is dharma.
Yes.
And what is worth containing in you also is dharma. So that type of definition of dharma, because throughout my life, before I came to Swami, I was all the time, you know, thinking in terms of, thinking about dharma in terms of the different isms, you know.
Mm.
So different rituals and doctrines and faiths. So today, in the light of what Swami has been teaching us, dharma suddenly is not what we have been thinking of. You know, learning about. Not those isms, not Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, but dharma is our nature.
Yes.
So when we think about dharma in that sense, and then go back in time again when Swami gave those beautiful discourses on the Bhagavad Gita and the exposition of Bhagwan, you know, the Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Mukshay Shami Mashutah, chapter 18. And then Swami said, Sarva Dharman Parityajya is not leaving aside all dharmas, become a Hindu. It doesn't mean that at all, Swami said. It simply means that give up the doership, because that has been your dharma.
Wow.
And when you give up the doership and offer everything to me, then I will take care of you.
Wow.
As simple as that. By a very simple condition, Swami said, for your own welfare. So
it is actually the Atma Dharma.
Atma Dharma, yeah. So when you say, sab dharmo ka tu hai sahara, so there are, sab dharma means whatever actions we have been, human beings are bound to do out of our ego. Whatever we have been doing, utilizing, you know, free utilization of our individual free will.
In fact, it's so beautiful that, you know, here, whichever interpretation of dharma you take, it is very appropriate. Somebody who take the interpretation of dharma as different faiths, someone might take the interpretation of dharma as duties, someone might take the interpretation of dharma as varnashrama dharma, or someone might take the interpretation of dharma as a specific task that we need to do at a particular stage of life, anything, however you look at dharma, whichever dharma you take, sab dharmo ka tu hai sahara.
Tu hai sahara. You are the substratum.
You are the substratum of everything.
Yeah. And even in terms of varnashram dharma, what a beautiful discourse given by Bhagwan. And he would all the time remind us time and again about time management vis-a-vis varnashram dharma. It's so beautiful. And keeping in mind that broad definition of the spectrum of dharma, sab dharmo ka tu hai sahara, sounds so beautiful.
Amazing.
It's not just a line that you are the keeper of every ism. It doesn't mean that at all.
Yes.
To a person, it might look like that.
Yes.
That, he is in the Bible, he is in the Quran, he is everywhere. But in the wider perspective of it, is so beautiful, so profound. Yeah.
He encompasses everything.
Everything. Sab dharmo ka tu hai sahara. Rahim kaho, ya Ram kaho. That's another beautiful line. Whatever you call him. After all, you know, people who profess different faiths, they say that my faith is, religious chauvinism, and people saying that my faith is greater than anything, anybody's. But then all the faiths are pointers to this just the same truth Swami has been telling. So when you talk about God, in terms of God, all faiths say that God is compassionate.
Yes.
God is merciful. So, our Islamist brothers and sisters, they say Rahim, Rahman.
Yes.
Swami once said, whoever has got Rahmat is Rahman.
Oh, wow.
And Rahmat is mercy.
Mercy.
Swami also said Rahim.
Hmm.
If you don't do Rahim, then you are not God. You don't realize God. Because when you are in search of God, all the properties of God should be inculcated. So the highest property of God is one who is merciful.
Yes.
So if you don't show mercy to even one who has done any harm against you, anything against you, whom you don't like, even to such a person, you should have the same feel of Rahmat.
Wow.
Then you will realize Rahman. You will realize Allah. These are all different names of Allah. Rahim kaho ya Ram kaho. It's the same thing.
To think of realizing God, to think of walking on this path, and distancing ourselves from forgiveness, distancing ourselves from empathy, thinking that, you know, I am on this path, I am on my sadhana, so all I need to do is, you know, just progress in my meditation, progress in my in concentration, and I will attain God, is in some ways a fallacy, because you cannot ever attain God unless your heart has softened to feel for the other person.
That's what Swami himself says, the hrudaya.
Yes.
The heart should be filled with compassion.
Compassion.
And then alone, a person with a compassionate heart, it's a true devotee. It hardly matters whether he, whatever faith he follows.
Yes.
He professes.
Avyaja Karuna Murti.
Uh-huh.
In the Lalita Sahasranam.
Beautiful.
Mother Karuna is described.
Murti. Yeah.
Avyaja Karuna Murti. Someone Avyaja. Who has so much compassion without reason. Unconditional.
Yeah. Unconditional. Avyaja. Tum bin pran nahi o sai mere सब धर्मों का तू है सहारा रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो तुम बिन प्राण नहीं. So beautiful. The next line is again so beautiful. Nanak Eshu Mahavir Sri Shankar. So I was talking to the composer Hari.
Hmm.
And Hari told me it was originally composed as Nanak Eshu Mahavira Tirthankara.
Oh, Mahavira Tirthankara.
Yeah. So Mahavir Tirthankara, 24 Tirthankara was Mahavir.
Yes.
So but then lot of people could not really, you know, understand what was being sung.
Hmm.
So it became Sri Shankara. So Nanak Eshu Mahavira Sri Shankara, and still it's so beautiful and so profound because different names of different prophets.
Yes.
So whether you call it Nanak, call him Nanak, or Eshu, Mahavira, or Sri Shankara, what really is the uniting factor here I saw is everyone taught humanity to love God, to see God, to think of God. Nanak also said the same thing. Prabhu Eshu Masi, he all the time dwelt on God, my father. Mahavir was all the time talking about Keval Gyana. And in fact, it was the highest transcendental wisdom that he was giving straight away by telling people that you don't have to look for God in finite things. Because he pervades everything, which is finite or infinite, sentient or insentient. And then the soul itself is God. That's what he was teaching.
Yes.
So you don't have to look elsewhere. You look at yourself. You are God. And that's the ultimate that Swami has been teaching us.
Yes.
Then you become a jnani.
Yes.
So he was, when he was teaching Keval Jnana, and here is Nanak, he's teaching us through the Vanis, he's telling us about God. And then Sri Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya, the climax of everything.
Yes.
Brahma Satyam.
Wow. Vedanta.
And all of them, all of them taught humanity to look for God, to think God, to feel that you are God.
And when Mrs. Phyllis Crystal came to Bhagwan, and she was by nature a very shy lady, and one of the exercises Swami made her do is Swami told, you tell that I am God. Oh. And she told Swami, come on, I can't tell this. And what do you mean, I am God? I can't say this. As it is, she was sort of very timid by nature. But Swami said, no, you have to tell this. I am God. So she said, Swami, I cannot bring myself to tell this. I mean, what are you asking me to say? It's such a huge thing. I said, no, you have to say it. And she started. I said, no, louder. No, even louder. No, louder. You know, at the end, I was shouting, I am God, I am God. Like, Swami was not satisfied until it came, just not from the lips, you know, it just came from within with that conviction that I am so God, beautiful. I am God, I am God. It has to just come with that force.
That conviction.
That conviction. And see what she's transformed to today. She's perhaps crossed 99. We had done a radio psych conversation with her perhaps a year ago.
Yeah.
And she has been such an instrument of Bhagwan in guiding so many people on the spiritual path, especially from the Western Hemisphere. But the journey started with this.
I am God.
I am God. I remember when Bhagwan used to come to the hostel as a student, Swami used to say that if you get any thought which is not pleasant, you say, I am not animal.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not animal. Yeah, I am man. Then you say, I am not man, I am God. Keep saying this.
It becomes a reality.
At that point in time, frankly, to share with you, I would think, what is this that Swami is telling, you know? I just keep saying, I am not animal, I am not animal, I am God. I am not animal, I am God. All that Swami used to say.
Don't live by instinct, like other animals.
Mm. In fact, one day Swami said, I will give you a mantra, which will help you, if you have any bad thoughts. And said, Swami said this, I remember very clearly. Tell that I am not dog, I am God.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. It's a beautiful mantra.
Yeah.
Well, this reminds me of, a beautiful experience of a Tibetan monk who came to Swami during Buddha Purnima, which was hosted by that year's, all the Buddhist countries would congregate.
Yes.
And this happened in Vrindavan. And all the Buddhist countries had representatives there. And Nepal was the host for that year. And they had brought some Tibetan monks, had come from nearby Bailakuppe.
Okay.
In Karnataka.
Yes. The largest Tibetan monk.
One of the largest after Dehradun, I think.
After Dehradun,
After MacLeodganj.
Mm, yes.
So, Swami kept giving him interviews for 1 week.
Mm.
There was a Tibetan monk who was, not even in hierarchy, because in monasticism there is a monastic hierarchy. Mm. So he was just an ordinary monk, and every day Swami would call, very young person.
Mm.
Then Swami told him a very mysterious story.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, I'll tell you beautiful stories, and you have to keep these in mind, bear these in mind. Because I knew him, he was basically a Tamang, not a Tibetan, but he was into Tibetan Buddhism. So, I asked him, what did Swami tell you? Tell me, just share those stories. And one of those stories is almost the same what we have been discussing some time back. Swami said, there was a devotee, a disciple of Buddha, who was a dullard. Like, he wouldn't understand the discourses being given by the Buddha in the Jetavan. Every evening there would be a discourse session, and then people would congregate, all of them would understand so many things. This man wouldn't understand anything. He couldn't make anything out of his discourses. So he was, he was never happy. And one day, Ananda, who was the Lord Buddha, who was Lord Buddha's cousin, and also his prime disciple, Ananda, on behalf of this gentleman, he requested, he prayed to Lord Buddha that Tathagat do something for this man, because he's very despondent every day. I can't really bear it anymore. Imagine praying for a fellow devotee. It's a sterling quality.
Yes.
And please do something for that devotee. And Lord Buddha said, Ananda, you take care of your own spiritual progress. That devotee already has all the beauty of self-realization inherent in him. You don't need to teach him. You don't need to help him. And you will yourself see it. So he called that gentleman and said, from tomorrow onwards you don't need to sit during the congregation. You don't have to sit there and listen to my discourse. You prepare the place for the discourse to happen in the evening. So clean up the place. And Swami was telling him this. Swami said, when you clean the place, you say only two mantras, which is very simple. One should be Dulpang and Trimatha. You say that, Dulpang, Trimatha. And Swami asked him, do you know the meaning? He said, no, Swami. Swami said, I'm telling you in your language, Dulpang means all dirt, filth, get away.
Mm-hmm.
And Trima is bad smell.
Mm-hmm.
All the bad smell also go away.
Mm-hmm.
So that much you can say. So now this was very relevant to him because he's cleaning up the place.
Mm.
So saying that all the dirt and filth just go away was easy for him to say. So he kept saying that for almost a month. And then Lord Buddha said, now you have really become an expert in this mantra. Now the next mantra is, you go to that cave up there, sit inside the cave, and then you start visualizing a pair of horns growing on your head. And think that I am getting horns. Think of that every day. Because every day you used to say that I am so stupid like a bull.
Mm-hmm.
It was there. A lot of people would tell him that you are so stupid. You don't understand anything. He was like a person whom people used to make fun of. So imagining that he was like a buffalo or a bull, like Swami says, Donapoda, it was very easy for him to think that, imagine those horns growing on his head. So he sat inside the cave, and for almost more than a month he was sitting there. And then one day in the evening, Swami, like Lord Buddha said, it's time for him to come. So from there he shouted, and he said, why don't you come? We are waiting for you. So from the cave, his voice came. He said, I can't come, Tathagat, because my horns are getting stuck on the door of the entrance of the cave. It's getting stuck there. I am unable to come out. There was no horns growing there, but the imagination had become so strong that he couldn't come out at all. And then Lord Buddha said, now you stay there for 1 month and don't bother about coming here. And imagine that the horns are getting shorter and shorter. And then once the horns disappear completely, you come out and come to me. And after a month he came, fell at Tathagat's feet, and he gave up his life.
Oh.
He became one with the Buddha. He became a Buddha. It's the story which Swami narrated to this man. See, these things are very, not documented anywhere, because it's between him and a devotee. It was perchance that I got to hear it from that gentleman, from Bailakuppe. So, yad bhavam tad bhavati. If you think Sai, you are Sai.
And that's why Swami used to always say that. Tell yourself, I am God.
I am God. So, the next line flows with that. Tumoho mere prana Sai mere. That prana that I am talking about, for you there is no life for me. We have that intense feel for Swami, that prana tum ho mere prana. I think self-realization is very simple for us, would be very simple. Every bhajan would give us that. In fact, the other day, Abhimanyu and me, we were sitting there and talking about what a wonderful experience. Swami would sit there on his throne outside and mesmerize the entire audience, his devotees, and make them meditate. Because the moment he would sit there, people would look at him and it was meditation.
Yes.
Happening.
And every bhajan session has become a meditation session.
Exactly. Tu hai Sai Bhagwan.
Tu hai Sai Bhagwan.
Just sing it once together. Tum bin pran nahi, o Sai mere.
Tum bin pran nahi, ओ साई मेरे
सब धर्मों का तू है सहारा
सब धर्मों का तू है सहारा
रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो
रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे
नानक यीशु महावीर श्री शंकर प्रेम अवतार साई राम
नानक यीशु महावीर श्री शंकर प्रेम अवतार साई राम
तुम हो मेरे प्राण साई मेरे
तुम हो मेरे प्राण ओ साई मेरे
तू है साई भगवान
तू है साई भगवान
तू है साई भगवान
तू है साई भगवान
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे दिस हाउ द भजन एंड्स
अमेजिंग ब्यूटिफुल ब्यूटिफुल सर थैंक यू वेरी मच That was Brother Sonam Gyamso, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a gifted singer and composer from Sikkim, a state from northeast of India. With that, we move on to the last segment of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We will now listen to the final version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.
तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे तुम बिन प्राण नहीं ओ साई मेरे सब भक्तों का तुम हो सहारा सब भक्तों का तुम हो सहारा रहीम कहो रघुराम कहो
प्रेमावतार साईं राम बिन प्राण नहीं साई मेरे सब भक्तों का तुम हो सहारा
So that brings us to the end of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at Bhagwan's lotus feet.